I have the opportunity to share with you tonight. I'm not as quite as nervous as the first time I came up to speak, so hopefully I'm not too comfortable because I'm sharing the Word of God, and I want to do it with respect and with honor, and I want to bring Him glory through all that's done. So with that, let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll be getting into Mark. I'm going to be studying in Mark chapter 7, starting at the 14th verse. Heavenly Father, this evening is yours. You've created it. Lord, you brought us all here for a reason and for a purpose. And I think it's very interesting when I think about it, because you have prepared this place and this time just for us. You knew this was going to happen, and you are here. Let us bring you glory. Let us bring you honor. Let's learn from you. Let's be filled with your Spirit, and let's go out of here changed today, closer to you, that we have more to share with those who are around about us, because we need to be sharing the good news with those who are around, because you are coming back. You have promised it, and that is true. We have faith in you, Lord Jesus. We trust you as our Savior. Tonight, let us draw closer to you through your word. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray, and through his Spirit. Amen. I do a little bit different than Tony does, but I think that's okay to be a little different one from another. So we're not going to always be a carbon copy of one another. And I'm not trying to copy what he does. So what I like to do first is just get us on track just by reading the scripture that I have set forward that we're going to dig into. That way we have that as an overview, and then we can dig a little bit deeper into the different concepts there. So Mark chapter 7, starting at the verse 14. After he, Jesus, called to the crowd, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand this. There is nothing outside of the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he left the crowd and entered into the house, his disciples questioned him some more about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but just into his stomach, and then is eliminated." Thus he declared that all foods are clean. And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from the evil thoughts and fornications and thefts and murders and adulteries and deeds of coveting and wit and wickedness, as well as deceit and sensuality, envy and slander and pride and foolishness, all of these things proceed from within and defile the man." Now, as a Jew, they had lots of different laws concerning food and lots of different concepts that go along with that. And Peter learned a little further on when Jesus and the Holy Spirit had to teach him that it was okay to go to the Gentiles and bringing a sheet down that showed the unclean food that people were not supposed to eat. Very interesting. But it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles the man. It's what comes out of his heart. For me, I've learned a lot more about what goes into your mouth and comes out, because I've been on kind of an extreme diet since December, and I've lost 40 pounds. So what goes in comes out, it's just, to me, it shows a lot of truth, because it just goes in, comes out. That doesn't matter as much, because, even though I've been on a stricter diet, watching what I eat, it's not the carbs themselves that defiled me to begin with, and made me gain the weight. It wasn't the bread. It wasn't the starch. It wasn't the sugars that gave me diabetes. It wasn't any of those things that defiled my body, you know, because that's not what did those things. But now that I've put those back into a little bit more moderation, you know, that's been a blessing to me. But it's not those things themselves that defiled me. None of those things made me a worse sinner. It's what comes out of my heart that makes me a sinner, that makes me in need of a Savior. And Jesus is speaking to these Jewish people who understood very well what it meant to have those practices of not eating pork, of not working on the Sabbath. You know, his disciples got in trouble for plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath and rolling them in their fingers and eating it because that was work. And they considered that sin. And Jesus is going, it's not what goes in the mouth, which is the sin. It's what comes out of the heart. What are you filling your heart with? And I love the fact that he really started looking at their traditions and said, we don't have to always just look at the traditions and say, that's what defiles the man. Because there's freedom that we have in what we can eat and not eat. But there's also wisdom in not eating a whole pint or gallon of ice cream at one time in one sitting. Those are things I could have done in the past, and those are things I probably won't do now. But it's just one of those things that it's not the things that are outside of a man. And he was trying to get them beyond that stipulation of thinking, you know, it's just wrong whatever comes in. But it's what comes out of a man. Because he was looking at Pharisees. He was looking at the lawgivers who were trying to abide by the law and trying to live by that law. But yet out of their mouth was an open grave. They weren't giving life. They weren't talking about a relationship with God. They were talking about rules and regulations and how to earn their way into heaven. There is no way to earn it into heaven. And we just have to be careful what we're putting in our hearts. As much as he was saying, what we put in our mouths for food, you know, makes a difference too. And when you go down a little further, I think the part that really emphasizes things is one that Jesus uses quite often. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. To me, that puts up a big thing, write everything in bold. This you need to pay attention to. If you have an ear, listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is important. This isn't just a quick saying. So the disciples have said, hey, you know, we don't understand all of your saying, you know, but if you listen to what I'm saying here, this part is important. Pick up on this. It's like when you're in class in school and the teacher goes, this is going to be on the test. To me, this is similar to what Jesus is saying. This is the important part. This is the important part of what I'm teaching right now. So listen to what's going to happen. Do you not understand that it's what goes into the man from outside isn't what defiles him, but what's what goes into his heart? Because what goes in his stomach and comes out. That's easy. Well, I think what we need to do is be careful what we see and what we hear and what we fill our hearts with. What are we feeding our hearts? What are we feeding our soul? What are we trying to do with ourselves? Do we just feed it with mindless video games? Do we just feed it with news on TV? Do we just feed it with the different things that can distract us? Do we just, you know, Marvel movies, you know, DC Comics, whatever it is that we filled our minds with, you know, that distract us from the things that are really important? So when he got his disciples together, they said, you know, hey, we don't quite understand what's going on. Can you help us understand what you're trying to tell us here? Because they got the point when he said, you know, he who has an ear, let him hear. Okay, I need to understand this, but I don't. So once again, he says the same thing. It's not what comes out of the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of his heart. Because out of his heart come the evil thoughts, the fornications, the thefts, the murderers, the adulteries, the deeds of covetousness and wickedness, as well as deceit and sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. And for me, it could be cursing even, because this week I found it very interesting. I was trying to be really, you know, holy and spiritual, and I was getting all this ready, and had a drink on the counter and spilt my drink on my sermon. And boy, you know, okay, there was nobody in the house to hear, but still it was one of those things where it goes on in my mind. You know, it was like, and then I, you know, Lord, forgive me. Where did that come from? And all I could think of, those words came from my heart. What is inside my heart? I started feeling guilty about what I've been feeding my heart. Because if those words are coming out, that must have been what I was feeding my heart. I think we need to be careful what we feed ourselves in our hearts. Because that's what's going to come out. If you watch the movies with all kinds of adultery and sex and all those other things, and then you're wondering how those, you know, how that affects you. Well, then when you hear of your friends have, you know, had an adulterous affair, you know, all of a sudden it's not quite as bad because you filled your heart with things that numb yourself to that. We should have grace and have love for them, but we should also understand that those are things that God hates. This list is not a list of one that we should be adhering to want to have. We want to get rid of those things. But if God gets rid of one, he wants you to fill it up with something good. And then I started to think about what was going on with our disciples. And what led up to him, you know, preaching this message about what goes in and then what's coming out of their heart. It's just very interesting about what goes into to their mouth and then out. Jesus had just previously fed 5,000 with five loaves and fish. I mean, just in the recent past, just before he preached this message. And he walked on the water to meet his disciples when they were going to the other side of the sea. They saw him heal. They saw him meet the demonic that he had cast the demons out of into the swine and went into the water. They met him there, and they brought all the people from the villages, and he healed all these people. This is what led up to these events. He spoke to the Pharisees about the traditions of men, and he spoke to them about the things that were just very important to him, and that it wasn't just the traditions of man when he was speaking to the Pharisees and speaking to his disciples. Because it's not following the law that makes a person holy. It's being filled with the love of God. It's being forgiven and repent. Repent is the message that John the Baptist had. And that was the message that Jesus took on after John the Baptist was locked up and beheaded. The two greatest commandments the Lord told us about was to love the Lord God with your whole heart and with all your mind and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we do those things, we're filling ourselves up with the right stuff. So if we're filling our hearts with those things, that's what's going to come out. It's much easier to help somebody and to help your neighbor when they say, hey, you know, these bushes are kind of overgrown, you know, can you help me cut these bushes down? Well, no, I'm too busy. But if you're filling yourself up with the things of God, I will help you. I can help a neighbor when they ask for help. Because it's not very often my neighbors ask for help. So if they do, it's like, maybe I should try and do that. That way I can share the things of God the way I should. That set the groundwork for where Jesus preached his message about the food coming in. They saw the five loaves. They saw the two fish. They saw how God had made that grow exponentially to the crowd. They had seen that. But those aren't the things that made them holy. Those aren't the things that made them sin. You know, those aren't the, you know, that's what he was trying to tell them. So those are some things just to get us into what the whole passage is. And then some of these, I brought a couple other passages and just to help us reflect on our passage for this evening. I was thinking about Romans. And in Romans it says, if we have died with Christ, in Romans 6, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never going to die again. And death no longer has master over him, for death has died once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead. Dead to sin, but alive to God. We read about all those sins that come out of our hearts. When we are given our lives to the Lord, we've repented of those things. Let's fill ourselves up with the things of God now. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness for God. For sin shall not be the master over you, for you're not under law, but you're under grace. What then, shall we sin more? We are not under the law, but under grace. And the word that has exclamation points behind it, may it never be. Don't sin so that you can have more grace. Be filled with more of God so you can give out more grace. We don't need to get grace as much as we need to give it and share it and have that same kind of mercy that God has for us and give that to others. Grace that will draw others into a relationship with him. And then I was thinking about that passage, about what's coming out of a person's heart and some of those things. And I thought about the little kid's song. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Very important. You know, those things are more important than we think. It might be a little kid's song, but to me, it's a great, great inspiration of how to follow after God. I don't need these other things. I don't need to watch a Bronco game to see the beer commercial. You know, it's just some of those things that are just have become disconcerting to me sometimes about how the world wants to get in and change the way we should be thinking. And I think this passage in 1 Corinthians also talks very much about how what's going into a person's heart. 1 Corinthians 8. Therefore, concerning of eating things sacrificed to idols. Because in the Corinthian area, you know, they had like a little fair going on. So you'd have little booths where you could buy meat or vegetables or all these other things. Some of them were offered up to idols, and some of them told you that. Other ones did not. And he's basically letting them know that we know that there's no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one God. Even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, from whom we exist, and there's one Lord Jesus, by whom we are called, and it's through him. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some have been accustomed to the idol until now, so they eat the food as if it was sacrificed to an idol. So then, their conscience being weak can be defiled. So if it leads them to sin, then they shouldn't eat it. But we are free. We are free to eat it, but at the same point, we also need to be concerned with our brothers and sisters. And if their conscience is weak and being defiled, but food will not commend us to God, does it make us any better if we eat it or don't eat it? We are neither the better or worse if we do eat it or don't. But take care that your liberty doesn't somehow become another one's stumbling block. Just because you can eat it and another one doesn't. Be careful and learn how to love one another and be aware of that. And that's one thing that he was getting, that Jesus was getting to. You know, it's not that which goes in that defiles him, but that which comes out. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in with idols in the temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through knowledge he who is weak is ruined for that brother who Christ died also. So it isn't a good thing. It's saying that's a bad witness for us if we do those things. So I think those are a couple of things we need to be aware of. But there's some of those ugly things that we read about in our passage that come out of our heart. And where do they come from? They come from things that we put in. They come from the things we put in. What have we put in our hearts this week? You know, for me at work, it could be, I'm just trying to make a dollar. So I'm just trying to make a sale. You know, but is that the most important thing I need to be doing? Or should I be sharing love with and compassion with, maybe one of the employees at work who hurt their foot and so they're having a hard time getting around? Should I have more compassion on them and maybe offer them, hey, why don't you go help this person instead of me? You're right here. I'll walk over and a little further and help somebody else a little further away. Show some compassion. Show some love. Show some kindness. But no, I could be kind of selfish and, I need to get a couple more dollars on the table. There's always another reason for me to have another dollar or two. I only have 20 grandkids, so I'm sure there's a birthday coming up next week or something. There's always a reason that you can come up with these kinds of different ways to look at that. But the different things we fill our hearts with, I think we really have to be a little more careful than what we are. It might not be that, we go out and try to say, hey, I'm going to go out and sin today so that I can have some more sin come out of my heart. But we don't fill ourselves with the things that are needful, the things that are important. The things that Jesus said, when he was at Lazarus' house with Mary and Martha. Mary's sitting at his feet. Martha's preparing everything, all upset because nobody would help her. And Mary's just sitting there at his feet, just gathering every word she can into her heart. And Martha's doing all the work. Why won't anybody help me? How come it's all me? Lord, tell her to come and help me. She's chose the better path. Everybody here can get fed later. My words are right here and right now. That's what you need to fill yourself up with. We as a congregation, we're here to learn the Word of God. We're here to get stronger and be in a better relationship with Him tomorrow than we were today. We want to grow in that. We want to be able to share that with others around us. For we know our Lord is coming back. We know that He will. And we're called every day to be a witness. We're not called to stand on the street corner over here every day and grab a megaphone and tell everybody to repent because they're heathens and they're going to hell. But what we're called to do is be a witness where we are. When you go to the grocery store, when you're at work, when you're on the computer talking with someone, we always have those times of small talk. Well, how was your day? Well, you really want to know? The Lord answered prayer for me. The Lord did something good. How often do we actually say that, or do we hold that back and just say, I'm fine? We need to allow our relationship with God to be something important. It's like when you're going on a date and you've gone on a date and you come back to work the next day and somebody comes over and you're excited. Oh, we had the best time. You're willing to share those things. That's what it should be like after a day and after a service. We should be able to go, I learned something new today that I didn't know before, or I got reminded of something I've forgotten. That type of excitement is something that we can fill our hearts with. Filling yourself with the words of God in song and in worship. I love our worship songs. But what I really loved and what I still love is when we put Scripture to music. Because the Word of God, it's just powerful. It is awesome. Let's fill our hearts and minds with those things. Let's fill our minds and our hearts with worship songs. We have that opportunity in a country like this, at least at this present time. I could see a time in the future when all your Christian radio stations, any of those things are going to be turned off. Because people aren't going to want to hear the name of Jesus. You say the name of Jesus, even if we say it today, people are offended. Why are they offended? Because they fill their hearts with things that aren't wholesome and aren't true. It's not that Jesus is not loving. Jesus is the most loving there is. Jesus is love because God is love. He's the creator of love, not the creator of lust, of taking somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. It's not about those kinds of things. But we come numb to those things when you see them in a movie. We become numb to those things when we hear them at work from somebody else. But our hearts should break. And we should be able to witness and share with them that we have a God who cares and can restore them and love them and help them through their situations. Philippians 8 is a big encouragement for me. And all I'm going to do is read verse 8. I'm going to skip over a couple of those other verses that are a little more well known for be anxious about nothing. I'm going to skip those for a second. I'm going to go, finally, brethren, whatever is true. Okay? Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Whatever is honorable. If we go back to Mark, what's coming out of our hearts? Envy. We've got adulteries. We've got a lot of these other things coming out of our heart. But what does this say? Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, one small word here, dwell on these things. You want to put something in your heart, those are the things that you should be putting in your heart. We shouldn't be playing the mindless game of, I'm just getting by. I'm bored, I don't have anything to do. Grab your Bible, just grab one verse, memorize it, practice it. You'll be amazed at the difference one verse a day would make in your heart and what you have to share with another person the next day. You start with a simple verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. You have a message to share with people. You have a message that takes it from beyond, my heart is broken. Because we all know people who have hearts that are broken. They're single. They're at home. You know, they've broken up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Their husband or their wife has walked away. Or it could just be a husband and wife. They can just have an argument with one another. They could be on different rooms of the house. I'm just so frustrated. I don't know what to do. But when you're filled with that word, you're filled with that word of God, you know that God loves you no matter what. You know that the situation can be worked out and it can be okay because we have a God in heaven who loves me and who loves them. So if you want to fill your heart with what's right, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Very simple passage. Now, it's a little more interesting passage, too. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Jesus was speaking. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of which fills the heart. For the good man brings good out of the good treasure out of his heart. The evil man out of his evil treasure what is in his heart. So the good man brings out good. The evil man brings out evil. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree, bad fruit, or no fruit. For me, that was interesting because I got to thinking about the fruit that comes out of my relationships in this world. What kind of fruit am I bearing? Am I sharing love? Am I sharing kindness? Am I sharing Jesus? Am I sharing salvation? Because if the Lord is coming back and we're preparing for that, are we ready to share that at any moment? Or is our heart just filled with lusts and envies and we can, you know, get the next great dad joke and have a good time? It's not that God doesn't enjoy humor. He does. But at the same time, is it something that's going to uplift and encourage and draw somebody to a Savior? Because we all have a need of a Savior. I don't want to cause another brother or sister to stumble. Those are bad things. So I don't want those things to come out of my heart. I don't want those things to be the things that I share. I want to be able to share the good things that come out of our relationship with God. Come back to the passage for just a moment. Not an easy time to come through these things again, but that which proceeds out of the man, that is which defiles the man. From out of our heart come evil thoughts, and fornications, thefts, and murders, and adulteries, and deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit. We deceive people. We deceive people by our relationships. You know, we always like to let people know, well, I'm better than I am. I think we have to just recognize that it's okay to be real with people. Okay, I'm not a millionaire. I don't have the big home on the hill. And if you do, that doesn't get you any closer to Jesus. What does is being humble before him. Ask him to forgive us for these things, for our sins. And ask him to help us to be better tomorrow, not by our works, but by his Spirit living in us, so that we can be more like him. Being more like him is what we really desire to be. Because I don't want to be full of these other things. Sensuality and envy. Oh man, it's easy to envy somebody when they've got their brand new Corvette sitting outside and it's all polished and clean and makes that big throaty sound. Vroom, vroom. You know, those things get all exciting. You know, those are fun. But we envy those things. I want that. I want that. Slander. To make ourselves look better, sometimes we slander somebody else. You know, I have a hard time with this person, so you try to make them look worse than what they really are. We tend to slander people all the time. Even brothers, sisters in Christ. Did you hear? I just want you to pray for this person, but did you hear what they're doing? You know, that's very hard sometimes. So I just think we need to be careful with that. Pride and foolishness. And foolishness is an interesting one there because, you know, fooling around, goofing around, you know, doesn't seem like one of the biggest sins that there could be. But once again, it's one of those things that just, something that just takes our mind off of God. Just the little things that can take our mind off of God. It can be, you know, hey, I just want to go see a concert tonight. I think I'm just going to go see, you know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers or whatever it's going to be. You know, those aren't going to be glorifying to God necessarily. It can be, you know, it can be a distraction for a moment, but you're not going to be filling your mind up with something good. It can be a distraction because the world is hard. There's so many things that we face. But if we offer those things up to the Lord, if we praise Him in the good times, because it's easy, Lord, You're worthy. Thank You so much. Those are great times. When you're having a hard time, when you're being smashed down, when you can't pay your rent, when you're going to be evicted from your house, you know, when everybody's left you, when your parents won't let you move back in with you, when you have all these other things that just shower down upon you. You know, your kids just got failing grades. You know, I can't get into the school I wanted to go to. The job I applied for won't hire me. When you have those hard times, we need to be able to be filled with the Spirit so that we know that God still loves us and God cares. He's not going to leave us alone. What have we filled ourselves with? Because if you're having that hard time and you feel like you're crushed and there's nothing there to lift you up, are you looking on the face of Jesus? That's what the thief on the cross, both thieves got to see Jesus. One of them finally said, Lord, forgive me. I deserve this. You don't. You know, if You can forgive me, Lord, please do. And the Lord comes up with the greatest answer ever. Well, today You're going to be with me in paradise. That's awesome. That's it. His answer for us is, You're going to be with me in paradise. Why are you worried about today? Today has so many troubles on its own. I think that's a part of Scripture too. Today has enough troubles. But we have a God who is above all those things. We have a God who will answer our prayers. A God who hears us. Not because we've earned it. Not because we've done all the dietary laws. But it's because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what heals us. The blood of Jesus is what lifts us up. That's what gives us comfort in a time of need. Why do people turn to God in a time of need? Because they can't get it fixed any other way. You can look in other directions, but it doesn't fix the situation. God, through Jesus Christ and through His Spirit, that's where you can be healed. That's where you can be touched. That's where you're going to be filled. And those evil things won't be coming out because the good things will be coming out. Fill yourself with the good things. Fill yourself with the things that bring life and love. And if you have the opportunity to be a parent or to teach in the Sunday school or to have people around you to share these words with, encourage them, lift them up, because people get down. People get discouraged. There are people who commit suicide. There are people who kill one another because they're envious. They kill one another because they're lonely. We have the answer of a God who loves us when things are great. We have a God who loves us when things are bad. That's when I think about Psalm 23. You know, I think about, He leads me beside the still waters. I just want to lay down there. But He also, you know, He's with me when I go through the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He has the strength to protect me when I don't. When I'm scared, when I'm driving down the road and I see headlights behind me that have been following me for 6 miles. Is my car going to break down? What does this person want from me? How, you know, those things go through your mind when you're, you know, but the Lord is good. The Lord is the one who's there to help you. So let's fill our hearts with what is good and not these other things. And let's understand it's not the food that comes in. It's not the little things that can come in. But it's what we fill our hearts with. It's not the French fries that made me put on the weight. You know, it's the sin, the envy. You know, it's the not having restraint in eating, you know, three bags of fries instead of one. You know, it's those things that having some self-restraint, having those things that God says are important and that we fill our lives with. This is a message that I could go on, which is awesome because there's three other passages I had to share. But I'm just going to leave it here because the Lord is the one who's going to fill our hearts with what we need. And we can get that through the Word of God. We can get that through reading the Word of God, through teaching, through being here in fellowship with one another, being together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I encourage the women to be in the women's ministry. I encourage the men to come to our study. We'll be starting that up in August, by the way, if anybody else wants to join the men in the study. We have Acts on Wednesdays. We have the worship team that always needs help. There's always places to plug in ministry if you want to help out. You want to help plan a women's retreat? You can talk with Nancy. You know, if you want to get some more in-depth time studying the Word of God with one another. You know, you can get it through the radio. You can hear some of your favorite teachers on the radio, at least for now, until that becomes obsolete. So fill yourselves up with the things that are good, the things that are going to make a difference. And let the Spirit of God change your life from one of despair. Don't fill yourselves up with adulteries and lusts. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. Fill yourself up. So thank you for coming to church tonight. You've started by putting the Word of God into your heart. Keep doing that. Do not forsake the gathering of the brothers and sisters together. Get together with other believers. If you don't have someone that you can call up and pray with, before you leave tonight, come and see me or Nancy or Roger. We'll give you our phone numbers. You can call us. We are here to uplift one another. We are family. We are here to help one another, to encourage one another. Because when you're having those times of struggle, it's not a time for us to go, "Told you so." It's time to put your arm around somebody and say, "Walk with me. Let me show you my Savior." We can't always say, "I understand how you feel," but what we can say is, "I have a God who does." We have a God who wants to love you and restore you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the heart of man can be an evil thing. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me for the things that I've put into my heart and the things that have come out of my mouth. Forgive me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord, help me to share the good things that have been put in my heart by good brothers and sisters who have taught me the Word of God, who have taught me the songs to sing in worship and in praise. Lord, I love you with my whole heart, and I pray that tonight your Spirit will be minister to everyone here, Lord, that you would help us to walk in a deeper relationship with you. Help us to seek your Word each day, that we have more to share. Just like when you're in a relationship with someone, you want to be with them every moment. Let's seek you that way. Yes. With that passion and with that love, that we have something to share. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness. Fill us with your Spirit, that when we can't have the strength to do it, that you'll give us that strength. We love you, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the blood that he shed so that we could be redeemed. Lord, we repent from the evil that comes out of our heart. Restore us into relationship with you, for we look forward to being with you. We look forward to your soon and coming return. We love you, Lord God, and it's to you we offer our praise and our worship. Amen.